We're going to be sharing from John chapter 20 today. And we invite you to turn with us in your Bibles to John chapter 20. And, of course, what we're looking at today is the time in between the placing of the body of Jesus into the tomb and resurrection on that Sunday morning, on Resurrection Day. Jesus' body was in the tomb, of course, placed in the tomb on Friday afternoon late, before the Sabbath began at 6 p.m., and his body was there at least through after 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. Now, remember that Sunday begins on at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening, for us, a Saturday evening. So Jesus could have been resurrected at any time after that and have been in the tomb at least a portion of the 3 days that are mentioned. We see Jesus, of course, early in the morning, and Mary Magdalene is the first to see him, of course, after he is resurrected from that tomb. So we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus and the witness of Jesus as to who he really is, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one in whom salvation is found, and the only one in whom salvation can be found. Before we begin our message today, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your forgiveness made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. And thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and dying there to pay sin's debt for every man, every woman, every child. You paid for all sin, for all time, for all mankind, upon the cross of Calvary, in order that whosoever would come trusting in you, believing in you, would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus, for your great sacrifice. Thank you for your love that caused you to go to the cross, your obedience to God the Father. And Father, thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation that we see fulfilled when Jesus died upon that cross and the subsequent resurrection from the grave. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for your word that you've given to us. Now, as we open the pages of your word, and as we read from it, and as we proclaim your word, may the words that I speak not be my own words, but may they be yours, Holy Spirit, spoken in me and through me, for all of us to hear today as a good word from your holy word. May your word be heard by us all, not only by our ears and our mind, but by our spirit. Open our spirit to you, Holy Spirit, that you may teach us. May it be for the glory of God, for the exalting of the name of Jesus, and for the upbuilding, the growth of my brothers and sisters who hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, dear one, in our last session together, we talked about the first of the things Jesus did while his body was in the tomb. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6, that Jesus went to make proclamation, to proclaim to those that were awaiting the good news that payment of sin had been made in full. And we looked at Luke chapter 16, and we looked at verses 19 through 31 that tell us about the parable Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, and how both died, and how the rich man lifted up his eyes in Hades, in torment, And Lazarus also went to Hades, but he went to a different compartment, a different place. There was a huge chasm in between so that no one could go across to the other side. And the rich man, there in torment in the flames, looked across the chasm and saw Lazarus being comforted in Abraham's bosom. And he spoke to Abraham, and he said, "Father Abraham." And he used the term father because Abraham is father of the Jewish nation, and this was a Jew. And he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames." And Father Abraham said, "No, no." And then he said, "It's impossible." He said, "I can't send him across the chasm to you. He is here in paradise with me, being comforted in this place of comfort. And you, because of your wicked life, are in Hades, in the compartment of hell, and you're being tormented there." Then remember Lazarus, or the rich man rather, said to Father Abraham, "Well, would you send Lazarus back to my five brothers, so that he can testify to them and warn them so that they won't come to this place of torment?" And Father Abraham said, "No, they have the prophets. They have those to proclaim the word to them. They have Moses and the prophets." In other words, they have the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the word of the prophets, the Old Testament in effect. He said, if they won't hear them, they won't hear someone who has come back from the grave. So we get a picture here of Hades with one compartment that is in flames, in torment for the wicked dead, a huge chasm, and on the other side of that chasm, a place of comfort where Lazarus is being comforted in Abraham's bosom. Now, I believe this is the place to which Jesus went. You see, he conquered death and hell and the grave. And he took the keys of death and hell. And he went to this place to proclaim to Abraham and to Isaac and to Joseph and to all the saints that had died and were in waiting for him, for Jesus. Because, you see, their sin was covered. It wasn't gone. It wasn't eliminated. They weren't cleansed of that sin. Their sin was simply covered. That's what the law did. That's what the sacrifices of animals did, was to cover sin. But they still had the sin. It was simply covered. And they had to stay there in that place of comfort, in that place of waiting, until such a time as Jesus made the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that would pay for the sin of all mankind, the sacrifice that was perfect and supreme, enabling sin to be cleansed. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those waiting in the place of comfort could now be cleansed of their sin. Their sin was no longer covered. Now it was cleansed. Now they could enter into heaven, into the presence of God, because their sin was gone and they were filled with the righteousness of God. So Jesus went to that place and he proclaimed freedom. He proclaimed, "It's done, it's finished, the price is paid. Your sin can now be cleansed, and you can enter into the heaven, you can enter into the presence of God, because you're free of that sin, you're cleansed of that sin, you're filled with the righteousness of God." So Jesus proclaimed to all those righteous dead that he had finished the task for which they were waiting, the payment for their sin, so that their sin could be cleansed and that they could now be free to enter into heaven, into the presence of God. So I believe Jesus led a huge multitude of the righteous dead into heaven itself. Can you imagine the hallelujahs? Can you imagine the course of that huge multitude of the righteous dead being set free from that place of comfort, but it wasn't heaven? You see, they weren't in the presence of God because their sins were not yet cleansed. But when Jesus said it's finished on the cross and the debt is paid and the supreme sacrifice is made, I've paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. Now, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and King David and all the saints and the prophets and the righteous men and women who lived before Jesus and died before he paid the price on the cross were in that place of comfort in Abraham's presence. And now, their sin is no longer. Their sin is gone. Their sin is cleansed. Not just covered, as it was under the law with the sacrifice of the blood of animals. So now, Jesus leads them into heaven itself. And Paul writes, you remember in the New Testament, that today, after the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the payment for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, when we die as the children of God, we are in the presence of God immediately. Why? Because our sin is cleansed. Our sin is gone. We enter into the presence of God as a righteous person, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. The righteousness of God is imparted to us. So before Jesus, the righteous had to go to this place of waiting. Call it paradise. Call it the place of comfort in Abraham's bosom. Call it that special compartment in Hades that is separated by the chasm from the compartment of hell, from the flame, the torment. It goes by many different names, by Sheol. It's not, you see, the final place of the torment of the dead. The final place is a lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. That's Revelation chapter 20. And the righteous dead, you see, are going to be raised and judged and cast into the lake of fire, where the devil and the demons of hell have already been cast. When we read about it in Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. So Jesus, first of all, went to this place of comfort and proclaimed freedom to the captives, proclaimed to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Solomon, to David, to Samuel, to the prophets, to the righteous dead. I've paid sin's debt, and you are free to go into the presence of God, into heaven itself. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We can't really imagine just how wonderful it was to Abraham's ears to hear the good news that sin had finally been paid for, that his sin was no longer present. His sin was gone. His sin was cleansed. He was righteous indeed, cleansed and filled with the righteousness of God and able to go into the very presence of God forevermore. And that's true of us too, dear friend. And remember, it's by the blood of Jesus. It's because of his sacrifice that our sin can be cleansed and we can be free of that sin and enter into the very presence of God. You see, no one who has sin in their life can enter into the presence of God. So we must be cleansed of our sin, and that's what Jesus does. That's what the blood of Jesus does. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we're told that if we confess our sin, and this applies to us who are Christians. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, 8 and 10 both talk about the sin that we have as Christians, the sin of our daily lives, the sin of not loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength, the sin of not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10 say that if we say we are without sin, we are a liar. And if we say we are without sin, we're calling God a liar. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. That's wonderful news. So for us today, we confess our sin. God is faithful and just to forgive us that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our righteousness can be restored immediately. We can sin, confess it, and immediately be cleansed of it, and immediately be restored to fellowship with God, filled with the righteousness of God. Now, that's not something we want to do. It's something we do because we're human. It's something we do because we're still in the flesh. It's something we do because we try to live our lives in our own strength rather than surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and letting Him live His life in us and through us, letting Him be our strength. That's what we're to do. That's what we need to do. Well, this is the first thing Jesus did. Went to Hades, went to that place of comfort, and proclaimed to Abraham and to all of those who were waiting that sin is finally paid for. Sin can be finally eliminated from your life because I have made the perfect sacrifice for sin. I have paid sin's debt for you so that you can be cleansed of that sin, not just covered any longer, but cleansed of that sin, and you can now enter into the presence of God. Now, think of the rich man over on the other side. He was able to look over, you remember, across that chasm and see Lazarus being comforted in Abraham's bosom. Now, I would assume that everybody else that was in that place of torment could also see that. Now, I'm assuming also that they were able to look over at this event where Jesus came and proclaimed freedom to those who were in waiting in that place of comfort. And that place of comfort was emptied, so that today there is no one in that place. There is only hell itself, the place of torment, on the other side of that chasm. In this place where the saints were comforted before Jesus went to them and proclaimed freedom, that place is empty today. And everyone who dies in the Lord today enters into heaven itself. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, we read in the New Testament. So since Jesus paid sin's debt upon the cross of Calvary, paid for the sin of all mankind for all time upon the cross, we who are the children of God, we who are cleansed of our sin by the blood of Jesus, when we die, we enter into the presence of God. We don't go to a place of waiting. There is no place of waiting any longer. There is only heaven that we go to, into the very presence of God Himself. Now, there's another thing that Jesus did during that time that His body was in the grave. And there's some debate about this one. I'm speaking of Jesus going into heaven itself, into that place of the true tabernacle in heaven, and depositing His sacrifice, His blood, on the altar of that true tabernacle in heaven, again, as the perfect sacrifice. Now, in John itself, we see in chapter 20, verse 17, where Jesus says to Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary, remember, Mary Magdalene is the first to actually see Jesus on the Sunday morning of resurrection. And Jesus said this to Mary from the King James Version. "Do not touch me," he said, "for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now, some believe that he had not yet performed the second important act of depositing his own blood on the altar in heaven itself, in the true tabernacle that is in heaven. Some believe that it was necessary for him to go there in his body and deposit that blood. Others maintain that he went while his body was in the tomb, that he went in spirit into heaven itself. Now, I believe he did go in spirit to proclaim freedom to Abraham, what we have already been discussing, because the Bible says that he went to the spirits as spirit. He went to the spirits in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 20, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6, make it clear that he proclaimed to the spirits now in prison this proclamation of freedom that the sin had been paid for. So he went as spirit to the spirits in prison to proclaim this. Now, I really do believe that he went into heaven itself, into that true tabernacle that is in heaven itself, and deposited his blood in the bodily form, that he went bodily into that true tabernacle in heaven and went into the Holy of Holies and deposited his own blood on the mercy seat. Now, he said to Mary, remember, John chapter 20, verse 17, "Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father." I believe really what he was saying is, "Don't contaminate me, Mary, by your touch, for I've got to go in pure form into that true tabernacle which is in heaven and go into the Holy of Holies and deposit my own blood upon that altar and make the sacrifice that will pay for the sin of all mankind for all time." That was the final act of making that proclamation, making that sacrifice. Not only did he shed his blood, but that blood, that perfect blood, had to be deposited upon the altar in that Holy of Holies, in the true tabernacle, which is in heaven itself. Now we turn to Hebrews, chapters 8 and 9 primarily, to see the evidence of the tabernacle, the true tabernacle that's in heaven, and this act of Jesus depositing his own blood as our great high priest upon that true tabernacle, which is in heaven itself. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, let me share with you very quickly some verses. In 8, 1 and 2, listen to these. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have a great high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. This is the reference to the true tabernacle, which is in heaven. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 in Hebrews chapter 9, listen to these. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Oh, my friend, our great high priest, Jesus, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not like the earthly priest, not of the priestly tribe of Levi. Jesus gets his priesthood from the order of Melchizedek, of whom there was no beginning and no end. Jesus, the eternal great high priest. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, say that he entered, Jesus Christ entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the one not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and he entered not through the blood of goats and calves, but he entered through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now listen to verse 24, also chapter 9. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Listen to the rest of that. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest who enters the holy place, and referring to the tabernacle on the earth, enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, he, that is Jesus Christ, has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, I don't really have time to discuss this very much in our time together today, but I'll call your attention to Hebrews chapter 9, and starting with verse 1 and going through the whole chapter, verse 28. This speaks of the tabernacle on earth. It speaks of the procedure that the priest went through, who stood continually offering sacrifices for themselves and for the people, because these sacrifices of the blood of animals only covered sin. It didn't eliminate it. So it needed to be made over and over and over and over and over without stop. Such was the case of Abraham, who was there in that place of comfort, in that place of waiting, with his sins covered, waiting for Jesus to pay the sacrifice, to pay sin's debt, so that his sins could be eliminated, cleansed of those sins. And now he could enter into heaven itself. So on the earth, in the copy of the tabernacle that man made, Moses made, in the copy of the temple that was first erected by Solomon, and then later erected by Ezra, and later erected by Herod, there have been three temples that were built in Jerusalem. And the tabernacle that the Israelites built while they were traveling in the desert from Egypt into the Promised Land. The tabernacle was a tent that was able to be taken down and put back up and was carried with the Israelites as they journeyed there 40 years in the wilderness. Now, the great holy place, the priest, the high priest, would enter into once a year to make a sacrifice for his own sin and for the sin of the people. Now, that's the copy. That's the earthly copy. Remember that the instructions were given to Moses, and Moses was to do this exactly the way God said, down to the very detail. This was a copy of the true tabernacle which is in heaven, not pitched with the hands of men, but pitched by the Lord himself, by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus then went into that perfect tabernacle in heaven and made the deposit of his own blood, the perfect sacrifice, upon the mercy seat, upon the altar in the Holy of Holies, and thereby paid for all sin for all mankind for all time, so that we can be in God's presence. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. He's faithful to do it, and he's justified in doing it, because Jesus paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. So God is faithful and he is justified in forgiving our sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it wonderful that you and I can live in fellowship with the Lord with our sin cleansed, our sin gone, filled with the righteousness of God? Isn't it wonderful that when we draw our last breath, we go into the very presence of God, into heaven itself? We're citizens of heaven. We're children of God. We're bound for the kingdom, for heaven itself. Isn't this good news? Jesus Christ, our great high priest, paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, in order that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is a good word from God's holy word for all of us today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.